If you have been baptized, why were you baptized? Some will answer the question by saying, I was baptized to receive the forgiveness of sin. And you can defend that answer. In Acts chapter 2 and in verse 38, the Apostle Peter told those Jews who believed that if they would change their lives, repent, and be baptized, that they would receive the forgiveness of sin. So your answer is correct. Others would say the reason that I was baptized is to be saved. And if that is your answer, again, you can defend that answer. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21, baptism now saves us. If I were to ask you, why were you baptized? And if you were to say, I was baptized in order to be placed into the church, that answer would also be correct. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13, for by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body. And that one body, Ephesians 1 and Colossians 1, is the church. And according to Acts 2, verse 47, when a person is baptized, saved, God takes that person and places them into the church. So the church is the institution that houses the saved. So that answer is correct. If you were to say, but I was baptized in order to gain entrance into Christ, that could be defended. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27, for as many of us as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So I ask you again, if you have been baptized, why were you baptized? If you were baptized for the forgiveness of sin, that's fine. If you were baptized to be saved, that's fine. If you were baptized to be placed in the church, that's great. If you were baptized in order to gain entrance into Christ, that is absolutely fine. All of those answers are right. You understand that? But now, I want us to consider another answer to our question. Look with me this morning in the book of Romans, the 6th chapter. Romans chapter 6. I hope you have a Bible. If you don't, grab one. We're going to go to a few places this morning, but I want us to begin in Romans 6 and note with me verse 4. And I'm coming from the New King James Version. Paul says, therefore, we are buried with Christ through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk, now stop right there, The word walk there is talking about your consistent mode of conduct. It's talking about your life, the way you live. He says, even so, after our baptism, even so, we should live a new life. Now let's ask our question one more time. Why were you baptized? If at least part of your answer to that question is not in order that you could kill off the old man of sin and rebellion against God in order that you could be resurrected from this watery grave in order to live a brand new life, if that is not at least part of your answer, then please understand that your understanding of baptism is not fully biblical. Amen. So it's time that we ask another question. Did you allow your baptism to do everything it should have done? Because what it should have done was raise you or bring you into a new life. Second Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. If any man be in Christ, in Christ is equivalent to being baptized. Galatians 3:27 again, because when we are baptized, we are in Christ. So if any man is in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man is in Christ, that is, if any man has been baptized, then all of the old has been passed away, and now he is a brand new creation with a new life. Now, follow me carefully so you know how we're going to do this morning. This new life brings some immediate things to us that we can get hold of and understand. And we're going to look at those for a few minutes, but then we're going to make a turn and we're going to make some observations about this new life that came as a result of our baptism. You'll understand in a minute. Now, immediately, as a result of our baptism, this new life gave us a new name. A new name. Now, for the next 2 or 3 minutes, let me be technical with you. This new name that came as a result of your baptism is the name Christian. The Old Testament prophesied in Isaiah chapter 62 and verse 2. I'm going to give you the latter part of the verse first, and then we'll look at the first part of the verse. The end of Isaiah 62 and verse 2, the Bible says that we would be given a new name, and that this new name would come from the very mouth of God. Now, if that new name is not Christian, then what is it? What is it? But now let's go further. In the first part of Isaiah 62 and verse 2, Isaiah prophesied that this new name that would come from the mouth of God, Isaiah associates the giving of that new name with the calling of the Gentiles. Question. When were the Gentiles called? The Gentiles were called in Acts chapter 10 and in Acts chapter 11. When Peter went into the house of Cornelius, his friends and relatives who were Gentiles, and Peter called them through the preaching of the gospel, and the Gentiles were brought into the kingdom of God. That is when they were called. Now look at it carefully, because we want to see something. Turn to Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11, now watch what is said and what it means. In Acts chapter 11, when the Gentiles have now been brought in, look at the end of verse 26. And, Acts 11, 26, the end of it, and the disciples, pause. That's what the Christians had been called to this point, disciples. The Jews were brought into the kingdom in Acts 2, and now the Gentiles have been brought in here. Look at the verse. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Now, look at your Bible. Look at it. There are two words there. Were called. The disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. That two-word expression, were called, is found 9 times in your New Testament. And without exception, every time that expression is found, the context proves that it was a calling of God. So the Jews were brought into the kingdom in Acts 2. The Gentiles were brought in Acts 10 and 11. Isaiah had said hundreds and hundreds of years before that the new name will be associated when the Gentiles are brought into the kingdom. And when they are brought into the kingdom, the disciples were called, divinely called by God, a new name, and that is the name Christian. Now, are you listening to me? When you came up out of this water, you were resurrected, the old is gone, I have a new life, and immediately with my new life, I have a new name. I am a Christian. Well, are you a Democrat? No, I'm a Christian. Are you a Republican? No, I'm a Christian. Are you an independent? No, I'm a Christian. You say, well, those are political names. Listen, instead of just using those political names, if I had used denominational names, and if you happen to be visiting and were a part of that denomination, you would stop listening to me right now. And I don't want you to stop listening to me right now. I was born real early in the morning, but not real early this morning. (Laughter) Well, I'm a Christian. So as a result of my baptism, I have a new life. And as this new life, I am a Christian, and I'm only a Christian. As a result of my baptism, another thing that happened is that I have a speech that's new. My speech is new. First and foremost, as a result of this new life, I use my speech to glorify God. Psalm 18 and verse 3 says that our God is worthy of our praise. Jesus says, when you are addressing God, in Matthew 6 and verse 9, Jesus says, here's how to address God. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Hallowed means reverence. It means holy. If you are a Christian as a result of the new life that came to you through baptism, every single morning of your life, you need to open your eyes and praise God for who He is and for what He's done for you. Our speech is new. Our speech ought to encourage. Our speech ought to edify. Our speech ought to build people up. Our people ought to help people up who are down. My new speech isn't about gossip. My new speech isn't about whisper. Have you heard? That's not it. My new speech is about building people up. Now, your words can get you in a heap of trouble. There was a young man, teenager, working in a grocery store in the produce section. And this old, elderly lady, old, she must have been like 65. This old lady comes up and says, young man, can I buy a half a head of lettuce? He says, say it again. She says, I want to buy a half a head of lettuce. He said, lady, we don't sell half a head of lettuce. But she says, I don't need a whole head. I just want a half a head. The young man said, listen, lady, God grows them with the whole head, and that's how we sell them. She says, you go ask your manager if I can buy half a head of lettuce. He said, well, you stay right here and I'll go. He's in the back and I'm asking. So he turned his back and walked off. What he didn't know is she was right behind him. So he gets to his manager. She's standing right behind him. He doesn't know it. And he tells his manager, listen, there is this old lame brain, wet job up front who wants to know if she can buy a half a head of lettuce. And this dear lady wants to buy the other half of it. Your words get you in trouble. We were baptized. We were raised out of the water, a new life. That new life gave us a new name. That new life gave us a new speech. We are going to speak and praise God, and we are going to speak words that God is pleased with. Now, as a result of our baptism, we came to a new life. And as a result of that new life, we also have a new attitude. And Lord knows a lot of folk need attitude adjustment. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, Paul says, "Let this mind or let this attitude be in you that was in Christ Jesus." The word attitude in that verse, listen to me, the word attitude in that verse is talking about your thinking. Paul specifically is talking about your disposition or your outlook on life. As a result of this new life, I have a new disposition. I have a new attitude about life. And my new attitude, my new outlook about life is the same as Jesus, but my attitude is new. As a result of my baptism, I'm raised to a new life. And that new life involves a new way to spend the Lord's day. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 10, John said, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day." Brethren, the Lord's Day, Sunday, was the day that Jesus was resurrected from the dead. The Lord's Day, Sunday, was the day that the church began. Pentecost always fell on Sunday. Sunday, the Lord's Day, is the day that the church came together to worship, Acts 20 and verse 7. And brethren, it is the Lord's day, not the Lord's hour. Uh-oh. Now watch this carefully. We make a little turn right here. We're going to make a little turn, so you have to stay with me. I was baptized to receive the forgiveness of sin. Yes, sir, and yes, ma'am. Yes. I was baptized to be saved. Yes, sir, yes, ma'am. I was baptized to be placed into the body of Christ, the church, by the Lord. Yes, sir, yes, ma'am. I was baptized in order to gain entrance into Christ. Yes, sir, and yes, ma'am. Now, as a result of that, I was also baptized to be raised into a new life. And in this new life, I've got a new name. It's Christian. In this new life, I got a new speech. In this new life, I got a whole new outlook in life. And in this new life, I got a new way to spend the Lord's day. But that's not where this ends. Quickly. You know what quickly means? Nothing. Quickly. Three observations about this new life. Three observations about this new life. When you came up from the water, that was a resurrection. That was a resurrection. The old you was killed off. Should have been. Too many folks go down a dry devil and come up a wet one. Amen. When we came up from that water, it was a resurrection to a new life. Three observations about that new life. Number one, this new life is a life that revolves around Jesus. We don't get this. You say, how you know that? Because I'm watching how we live. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21, Paul says, as for me, to live is Christ. This new life revolves around Jesus. Now, here's what I'm telling you. Everyone has a point of reference in life. It is that point of reference that stabilizes us. It is that point of reference that causes us to focus. Now listen to what he says. Galatians 2 and verse 20. Listen to what Paul said. Paul said, it is no longer I that live. Now wait a minute. What are you talking about? You're standing right there. Everybody's looking at you walking and talking and breathing and writing. He says, it's no longer I that live. He says, but it is now Christ that lives in me. What are you saying? I'm saying that this new life I have in Christ, it revolves around Jesus to the extent that it's not even me anymore living, but it's Jesus living in and through me. Well, what does that say for Fox? It says that every single aspect of my life must revolve around Jesus. My social life must revolve around Jesus. My home life must revolve around Jesus. I can't be something here and something else at home, and you can ask those at home if something is different. I am what I am, and it don't matter where I'm at. That's who I am. My social life must revolve around Jesus. My home life must revolve around Jesus. My recreational life must revolve around Jesus. Now, how simple is this? Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31. I was resurrected to a new life. This new life is a life that revolves around Jesus. Number two, as a result of this new life that came through my spiritual birth at baptism, this new life is a life where growth is made. Growth. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, Peter says, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. The word desire, 1 Peter 2, 2, means to long for it. It means to crave. And the New International Version translates it with that word, to crave. I want to tell you this morning, and I need you to understand this, that spiritual growth will never ever occur until you crave for it. You gotta want this. You gotta want this enough to get after it, because you're not gonna run into it walking down the street. Now let me show it to you. Let me show it to you. I know what time it is. Turn to Acts 17. I gotta show you this. Acts 17. Let me show you what this craving to grow. Now we have to crave to grow. Grow in two areas. Number one, we have to grow in our understanding of the word. Now watch this. Acts 17 and verse 11. These, that is the Christians in the city of Berea. These, the Christians in Berea, were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica. Now, why were they? Here's why. In that they, the Christians in Berea, received the word with all readiness. Now, here it is. And they searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Now, I want you to look at that verse. I want to highlight two words in that verse. Number one, underline the word searched. They searched. The word searched there is very strong. It means that they thoroughly scrutinize the word over and over again. They thoroughly scrutinize the word over and over again. One Greek scholar, in explaining that word, said that word was used by the ancient Greeks in Paul's day to talk about a legal process, where a lawyer would scrutinize an area of the law over and over again, or would scrutinize a piece of evidence over and over again, and so that he could understand it and bring that forth. We are to search. We are to thoroughly scrutinize the word. Look at the second word in verse 17:11. The second word is daily. They did this every day. Your physical body must have nutrition and food every day to sustain itself, and brethren, your spirit must be fed as well. This new life, growth will take place, but I got to get after it. Growth in the word, and then secondly, growth in good works. Now, I know I'm throwing a whole lot at you. I'm just hoping some of this is going to stick and you're going to catch some of it. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, Paul says that we as Christians are God's workmanship. Now listen to his phrase. He says, we were created in Christ Jesus for good works. Now let's think about that. We were created in Christ Jesus. Now, when were we created in Christ? We were created in Christ when we came up out of the waters of baptism. Do you understand that? We were made new when we came up out of the water. It was this process that put me in Christ. When I came up out of the water, I had been created in Christ. Why? Ephesians 2:10 says that the purpose of it, or that the result of it, is so that I could accomplish good works. Good works. In Titus 2 and verse 14, Paul says we are to be zealous, that is, on fire for good works. Why were you baptized? Well, I was baptized to be saved. You sure were. But why were you baptized? Well, I was baptized to get into Christ. Sure were. Now, why were you baptized? You were baptized to kill the old you. And the reason a lot of us are having trouble with the new us is we ain't killed the old us yet. There's a door right there that leads to my car. And I can run faster than anybody in here. Listen. You understand what I'm telling you? So as a result, I'm getting there. As a result of my baptism, I am now created a new creature in Christ. As this new creature, this new life, it will revolve around Jesus. It will bring about growth in the Word and growth in my good works. Number three. Lastly. My wife keeps saying there's no such word as lastly. I said there is now. And if I keep saying it in 10 years, they'll put it in the dictionary. Lastly. Lastly, lastly, lastly. Number three. I ain't got no sense. Who said amen? My feelings is hurt now. Finish this sermon yourself. Number three. As a result of this new life, now listen to me, there is a battle that has to be fought. Christian, listen to me. As a result of this new life, there's a battle you got to fight. There are two forces in this battle. One is the kingdom of Satan. It's led by Satan. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, be sober, that is, be vigilant, be aware, because your enemy, your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, and he's seeking to devour you. And as a part of this kingdom, there are demons. These demons are referred to in Ephesians 6 and in verse 12 as being the spiritual host of wickedness. And the devil sends these demons to accomplish his will in your life and in mine and in this world. This world is upside down because it's following the devil and not God. And in fact, it's so upside down that those of us who are still right side up, they think we're nuts. Just thought I'd drop that. on the other side of this is the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of God. Now listen to me. There's two forces here. There is light and darkness. There is God and Satan. There are two forces that are engaged in this battle, and every one of us must choose which side we're going to get on here. Jesus said in Matthew 12 and verse 30, "He that's not with me is against me." I got to close. Listen. If you have been baptized, why were you baptized? A lot of good reasons. They're biblical and they are absolutely on point. But part of the reason was to kill the old you and to raise a new you. You took on a new name. You took on a new speech. Supposed to. You took on a new attitude. And you took on a new way to spend the Lord's day. Now here's the bottom line. Have you allowed the Lord to transform your life into this new life? A life that revolves not just on Sunday, but every day around Jesus. Where were you last night? This new life where growth is made. You got to get after it to get it. You got to get after it to get it. This new life where there's a battle that has to be fought. That's how you know you got this. Now, if you haven't been baptized, then why haven't you? It's the only way to receive forgiveness of sin. To be saved, to gain entrance into Christ, and to be placed in the body, the kingdom of God, the church of the living God. And you rise up and you live that new life where Jesus isn't just something, but everything. Because when Jesus is everything, you'll do better at whatever else you're doing. Because you'll be doing it to His glory. This morning, if you're here, if you're subject to the invitation of Christ, God help you to come forward right now as together we